Are you ready?
Oh yeah!
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Welcome to another episode of Way Back Wrestling Mania. I'm your host, Adam, and with me is my co-host, Stephen Marshall. Stephen, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
Am I the host now? You said I was the host?
I screwed up the intro, which is becoming a habit across all three podcasts at some point.
Well, I'll tell you what, my podcast that I've released this week, I screwed up the intro on that, so
it's
must be me.
I do it even on the, like I said, the other two podcasts. When I introduce whichever co-host it is, I have a habit of, if it's Travis, I want to say Ryan, and when I'm with Ryan, in my head, Travis is wants to come out of my mouth. So it just that's what happens when you have, three podcasts, right? So
yeah.
This week is our second episode, and we're gonna discuss the Super Bowl of wrestling, I guess you could call it. I think Vince has called it that before.
Yeah, it's been called that by a few people. Yeah.
And the Showcase of the Immortals, as it's called, as well. WrestleMania 35, which was held a few weeks ago.
Makes me feel old as well.
Yeah. So, because I'm as old as WrestleMania. So that tells you all you need to know about that. So every year that there's a WrestleMania, I'm like, there's another year for me. So we're going to discuss our thoughts on WrestleMania, and give our ratings on the different matches. So shall we get going here, Stephen?
Yeah, we can do it. If you hear a baby crying in the background, it's just because the door's open slightly. I'll go show it in a minute.
All right, no worries. He wants to get in on the discussion too. But I will say the show started off with before we got into any matches. The host of WrestleMania this year, Alexa Bliss, who refers to herself as the goddess, came out, and she looked fantastic, and further cemented her place on my multiverse wives list. But she said that she wanted to start off the show by making a WrestleMania moment. And she said she could do that with the snap of her fingers. And so she snapped her finger. And the Hulk Hogan's music hits. And the Hulkster comes out. And he and Alexa Bliss start doing some of Hulk Hogan's trademark routine. You know, the posing, the listening to the crowd, and all that stuff. That was pretty fun.
I loved that bit.
You could bring him out. Look, anytime you bring him out, I get a smile on my face.
And I don't know if you agree with it. I think it was biggest pop at night as well when he came out. I think the crowd went crazy.
The crowd went nuts.
I think they went more nuts for that than anything on the show.
The only other pop that was as loud was probably when Becky Lynch came out for her match.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. That was but I think up pop. To that point,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
the Hogan.
Yeah. And but Hogan pop. To me, anytime you bring out Hogan, I get a smile on my face because I instantly revert back to a child. But you know, this was the first year because Alexa Bliss was hosting. I said, Hogan, I love you, brother, but get out of the way. Don't get in the way. don't block my view, damn it. So that was a double-edged sword. But, yeah, that was a cool moment to start off, and I'm glad. Like I said. He's back, reinstated in the
rightfully so, in my opinion,
Hall of Fame. I agree, and given that next year's WrestleMania is in Tampa, which is his hometown. I'm willing to bet that he's probably going to be the host.
Yeah, and I reckon he might even have a bigger part on the show.
Yeah.
Right throughout. So he might do what, because Alexa was obviously, she was the host, wasn't she, this year? So.
Yes, she was, yeah.
Yeah, so I think he might have a few. I'd like to see him do a bit of an intimate in ring just to punch somebody or something.
Yeah, maybe Elias, you know, that, yeah. Which we're going to do. But,
yeah, who I realized I didn't know, I said to you I didn't know who it was, and then I literally saw him like 2 minutes after,
yeah, after I texted you saying. There it is, yeah. and then when I spoiled what happened to him on Raw, it probably, you like, damn, good. I wish good for him. which we may touch on who came back for Raw, because he should have came back for Mania, but that's another point. But so right after the whole,
can I just talk about that? Actually, yeah. Why do you think he didn't?
All right, well, okay, we'll spoil it. So basically, on Monday, the Monday after WrestleMania, Elias is talking, and his whole bit is he wants to do a singing show because it was. Supposedly, the bit is that he's this fantastic musician, and but every time he comes out, another superstar interrupts him, and so at WrestleMania, spoilers, it was John Cena, but not John Cena, you know, the.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to talk about.
Yeah, I am, but I have to.
Oh, sorry, go on. Yeah.
So at Mania, John Cena interrupts him, but John Cena has gone back to the. What the hell does he call himself?
This is basic thugonomics.
Yeah, the doctor of thugonomics. Is that what he calls
himself? Yeah. Maybe he's slow rapping.
Yeah. And he comes out and he interrupts Elias and he does like a rap, promo where he basically says that, you know, the funniest bit of that was when he says that Elias sucks so much he thought he was watching one of his own movies. Which I found hilarious, although I disagree with that because Bumblebee was fantastic.
I liked Blockers as well.
Yeah, though I mean, though I guess he's talking about his WWE related.
Oh, like the Marine. Like, that was terrible. He was bad in that film as well. To be fair,
yeah, it was horrible. So, but that was pretty funny. And then he gives him the. What's it? What was his finishing move?
The FU it was called, wasn't it? When he was the
thugonomics. Yeah, and then he does, you know,
all that five knuckle shuffle thing.
Yeah, well, both. Yeah, I think he did both.
Yeah.
And then he did a sort of the rapping equivalent of the "You Can't See Me" routine, and then he but on Monday night, you know, Elias comes out on Raw. He says that, you know, he goes, "I'm gonna beat the crap out of anybody who interrupts me next time," right? And he says, the next time somebody interrupts me, they're a dead man. And sure enough, the lights go out. You hear the Undertaker's music. There's about a 5-minute delay because that's how long it takes the Undertaker to get to the ring. I forgot. No, but he's always taking that long.
Yeah, but he takes even longer now, probably.
I'm like, Christ almighty. He takes a happy show. But he comes out and you know, he's standing there. And Elias at first looks like he's busy, scared shitless. And it looks like he's going to leave the ring. He decides to stay in the ring. And the Undertaker chokeslams him and tombstones him. And then that was the end of that skit. But so I would have preferred that at WrestleMania. To be honest with you.
Yeah, I almost wish you wonder why. Maybe Undertaker wasn't available or something. Or
maybe he was busy. But yeah, what was he doing?
I mean, are we just going to talk about the Cena moment now, or do you want to get back to it when we go in order? Or
well, here's the thing I'll say about the Cena moment.
Yeah.
And Cena should have been Kurt Angle's final opponent because Kurt Angle was Cena's first opponent. So it would have been a nice full circle moment.
Do you think there was like maybe Cena couldn't get himself in ring shape and stuff because he's busy on films and stuff? And
maybe he's in the middle of shooting something.
Yeah.
And so they let him compete is my only guess because it's not like he looks out of shape.
No, I was thinking the same thing. He still looks really big, so.
And my thing is, this is another spoiler, but I would have let Angle win the match regardless of who he was facing.
Yeah, first, I suppose we'll get to that when we get to that match.
But anyway, my point is, he should have faced Angle. Do you not agree?
I totally agree, yeah. But that's what makes me think maybe that wasn't Angle's last match, even though they called it the farewell match.
I'm sure he's probably going to come back. I mean,
don't forget, Shawn Michaels has retired about four times.
Right, exactly. But if just going at for now as face value, if that's a disappointing for a final match for Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
And he deserved the match with John Cena. That's just my opinion.
I mean, why do you think they brought Cena back in that gimmick?
Because Cena's been talking that he's always wanted to go. He's wanted to go heel for a while.
And he did say the word heel, didn't he? Like, I'm going to turn heel on you. Yeah. But then he was like, but it was still kind of not.
Well,
you that's know what I mean? Although it kind of was.
You know why? Because nobody likes Elias. Like, who cares about Elias, right? But when he does come back in ring, if he goes up against, like, let's say a Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
Then now we're talking. Like now we can really get into the heel turn, right? But again, because it was Elias, you can't really get emotionally invested because nobody likes Elias, at least nobody that I know, gives a shit about that game.
Well, do you know what I put on my notes? Elias sings and loads his heads.
Yeah, it's really, like, it's the most, like, you're not the honky-tonk man. You're not Jeff Jarrett. Get out of the ring. You're wasting time. The best part was when John Cena F-U'd him or F-5'd him or whatever the hell the name of that move is. but get rid of that crap. Like he said, send the guy back to NXT and refurbish his gimmick because it stinks. But yeah, I think it was terrible booking in the sense that Undertaker should have come out probably against to disrupt Elias at Mania. And Cena should have fought Angle, but that's just my theory.
I totally agree.
And now with that out of the way, why don't we get to the first match, which was the Universal Championship match. This is how full the card is that you have to put the Universal Championship match first, and it's Brock Lesnar against Seth Rollins. Now.
But I liked how they did it first, like, because Paul Heyman came out and was like,
"No, yeah,
the arrogance," and he's like, "Well, we're not waiting. If we're not going on last, then we're not waiting around."
No, I like the way they sold it.
Yeah,
I just think that was going to be first, regardless. And that's just indicative of the card being way too full.
Well, one thing I've got on my notes is there's too many titles.
The
card
had
too many matches, and there were too many titles.
Oh, 100%. I've said they should pare down the title.
See, I think you can have the two mid-card belts, like the US and the...
Intercontinental.
Because you couldn't have one exclusive to Raw and one exclusive to SmackDown.
Sure.
But you could have the World Championship should, for me, go on both, and then you should just have one world title.
Yeah, I agree.
The same with the tag titles and then the women's, to which they have unified the women's titles now, aren't they?
Well, yeah. Somebody has two of them. And we'll get to that. I mean, everybody who's listening to this knows, but anyway.
I'm going to say, I bet people have watched it by now.
We'll keep the pretend anyway for why not. So I like
who won?
I like the shtick of it, like the Paul Heyman and that arrogance. But to me, the unit that a title match of that of supposedly that magnitude should not be going first.
I totally agree.
And I like Seth Rollins as an in ring performer. Unfortunately, when you pair him with Brock. The match is going to be terrible because Brock is terrible. Look, I get that he's a UFC, whatever the hell he's doing now, ex-UFC, current UFC. I don't know what the hell he classifies himself as. But as a WWE performer, he's very limited. All he's got is that friggin' suplex. He comes out and attacks people. And you can, to me, when watching the match, I'm feeling pain for the other guy because Brock Lesnar has no friggin' regard for the other person's safety, and you can see it.
Yeah, I always worry. Yeah, I think that this goes back to Vince McMahon, like in his monsters.
He's going to kill someone.
Back in the '80s, Brock Lesnar would have been the perfect opponent of a Hulk Hogan, you know, and like a little run.
Yeah.
For me, like you say about the careless, he almost is a bit like Goldberg was when Goldberg was Raw. He's too careful, too careful. And I also think in terms of booking, the book Lesnar for me. Is too strong against their own opponents. Like that thing with John Cena, where John Cena, I don't know if you remember this, when he like did his move to him and then he got straight back up. Back at SummerSlam or something. I thought I was so wrong to do that.
I agree.
To a world champion. And then it's like this guy who comes in for like 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah. So just,
I don't get it.
And so the whole match is Lesnar's usual shtick. But the thing is, like, he beats him up outside of the ring. Like, he, you know.
And that went too long for me, though.
He does
the in the ring quicker.
How many suplexes does he give him outside the ring? He gives him one on the mat, one against the rail, one against the announce table, the cover of the announce table. And so all Brock does the entire... Did the match even last 10 minutes?
No, that's what I mean. It took that long to get in the ring. But when the bell rings to the finish, it must be about 4 minutes or something.
Yeah, so essentially, what happens is after Brock beats him on, like, beats the shit out of him on the outside, he comes in and is about to do... I guess he's the one with the F5, right?
Yeah, the F5, yeah.
So, but you know, Seth Rollins wiggles out of it and pushes him into the referee. And then when Brock turns around, he smashes him in the nuts. And then proceeds to do three of the most ridiculous finishing maneuver I've
is
ever
that,
seen.
Is that his finishing maneuver?
I think so, and it's ridiculous.
Oh, he's awful.
It's three. Basically, he stomps on his head three times, and that's supposed to take down Brock Lesnar. Okay.
Does he not have another finishing move?
He does. That leads up to that.
What?
But because he was already cowering in pain because he knocked him in the nuts, they just went to three head stomp.
It was bad, that.
And he wins the match. And I'm glad Seth Rollins won the match, because your Universal Champion or your WWE Champion should be there every week.
Yep.
And so I'm glad that Seth won the match. But my disappointment is that a title match should not be won that cheaply, number one, and that quickly. And number two, Seth Rollins is a better in-ring performer than what was showcased. Mm-hmm. And because he was with Brock, he wasn't able to showcase his talents.
It was almost like they went, right, the card's that full, you've got 10 minutes. And it's like, you're giving these guys 10 minutes, and this is for supposedly your overworld, you know,
This is supposed to be your flagship belt, because it's on Raw. Although, I will say, I think the WWE Championship should be the flagship belt, because that's the one Hogan, Savage, Flair, et cetera, held. So, to me...
I hate the design of that, but those belts as well.
It's just the logo. The strap is a different color. The strap is a different color. It's
But I used to love the WCW big gold belt, and they had that, and they got rid of it.
But if you want to have two, belts, have the WWE, have the WCW big one, and then bring back the friggin' Winged Eagle belt. Yeah. That was a beautiful belt.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And if or I could at least afford, do if like I could a afford a replica, I would own it, which I can't. But if I could, I would. So the only reason this match gets any kind of favor with me is because Seth Rollins was put over. At this point, I'm getting sick of Brock Lesnar. And
I thought it was the right finish in the wrong match.
Yeah, and I hope, honest to God, hope that Brock is not re-signed. I'm done with him.
They're going to bring him back, though, aren't they?
Probably, but I'm...
But I reckon it'll be a while.
You know what they'll do? No, they'll wait till October when SmackDown starts airing on Fox. And they'll shift them over. They'll shift them over to SmackDown. Is my.
Do you want to know what Meltzer rated it then, Dave Meltzer?
Yeah, and then we'll give our rating.
Right, this is out of 5. You give it 3.5 stars.
That's generous.
I thought it was the same thing.
I'll give it for just because of the finish, and because it was fun seeing Brock get knocked in the nets. I'll give it a 2.5.
I gave it a star and a half.
All right.
That was my thing. Just a spoiler, he rated this match higher than the next one, and I thought the next one was a far better match. But
yeah, well, all right, so let's get right into what is the next match.
I've got here the AJ Styles versus Randy Orton.
Oh, it was a much better match. Oh yeah,
I thought it started slow, but I thought it picked up as it went along.
I'd agree with that, but wouldn't you agree that both of those two guys are really good technical in-ring performers?
Yeah, and I thought they should have been in more than just a grudge match. They should have been fighting for one of the belts, in my opinion.
But at least the grudge match, like there was a personal stake to it, and so I appreciated that. Like, because the whole spiel of it, the whole shtick has been for months. Randy Orton's been putting AJ Styles down because you're an indie guy. You're not a main eventer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, see, I used to watch AJ Styles in TNA when he first came through and stuff, and I always loved him. I thought he was brilliant from right from the get go.
And so that's been his whole shtick.
Yeah.
And so at least the payoff to that was there, even though it wasn't a title match.
Yeah. But I mean, could you not just made it like a number one contender match or something? You know, just to give it a bit
you
more.
You could have, but you gotta get Money in the Bank is the next pay per view.
Right,
so they'll probably set the stage for, I mean, depending what they do tonight or on tonight's Monday Night Raw, which is the brand shakeup, it'll probably determine who goes for what belts. So, and that'll
depending on what show they're on.
That'll be worked out. I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff for Money in the Bank, which we'll probably cover Money in the Bank. We'll try and cover at least the pay per views. So we'll cover Money in the Bank eventually, but. To see how things all shake out, but yeah, so I think that's why they didn't put him in like they weren't in title contention at this point, because you still have to set up, you know, all the new champions at Mania. So I think that's why it was just a grudge match, but I liked it because each performer was able to sort of showcase their signature repertoire. You know what I mean? Mm.
Well, it was quite cool when Randy Orton kept trying to do the RKO and he kept like stopping him, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And he tried to do it off the top rope and all sorts, didn't he? And
yeah. No,
that was quite a cool little.
The spots were really, really well done.
Yeah.
And you know what actually made it work for me? Jerry the King Lawler's commentary was hilarious. Like, I was
good. I was really thrilled when I saw him come out.
Because he's talking about, you know, because the whole thing is AJ Styles' whole retort towards Randy Orton is, well, you had it made. Your father was a wrestler. You had an inroad into this business where I had to work for everything I had, right? So Jerry the King Lawler being, you know, pro the bad guy, if you will, and not Razor Ramon, just the heel. he would say... you know, AJ Styles doesn't know what he's talking about. He goes, I knew Randy Orton's father, and Randy Orton's father didn't even like him up until recently. And so that whole shtick made the match, like, added to the match. You know what I mean? But again, I think the fact that Randy Orton failed to do the RKO on several occasions was really an effort to, not that he needed putting over, but to really emphasize AJ Styles as the kind of the guy, if you or one of the guys.
Yeah.
So I like that aspect of it. But I felt like I said, overall the match was pretty solid. It was a decent length, and I enjoyed it. So, what would you? Okay, let's do our rating of the match, and then we'll see what Meltzer.
Okay. Right, I've given it two and a half stars.
All right, I'll give it a decent three.
Okay. Do you know what Meltzer gave it then?
What did he give it? Yeah.
3.25 stars.
All right, me and Meltzer.
I just realised one of the matches on here he hasn't given a rating for. I don't know why. But we'll get to that, I suppose. Well,
depending on which match, hey, you might have a point.
I don't know if maybe they just didn't have it available off him. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
But anyway.
All right. So next up.
Right, I was just going off the Meltzer list, and he's a bit out of order, so I'm just going to go off my list, because my list was done as I was watching it. So the next one was the SmackDown Tag Team title, which was the Usos versus Sheamus and Cesaro. Is it Cesaro? If I'm pronouncing it wrong, just ignore me.
Yeah, Cesaro,
Rusev and Nakamura versus Ricochet and Aleister Black.
Yeah.
Now, this to me was, how many wrestlers can we squeeze into one match?
It was, but I did enjoy the match.
I thought the Hurricane Rana that Ricochet did was absolutely mental.
Oh, but that's like one of the guys that I like of the current product, and I'm just realizing this now, is Ricochet. He
was the most entertaining thing in this match for me.
And you know what's cool about him is that, or Ricochet and Aleister Black is that they compete as a tag team on Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. So they're all over. They're all over the brand. Like, they had a match. They had a match on NXT TakeOver on the Friday, which was a fantastic.
On this one.
By the way, yeah, and then Sunday. So, by the way, the NXT TakeOver New York, which was the Friday before Mania, was an amazing show. There was five matches. Each lasted a half an hour. Each was a title match. And each match was out of this world fantastic.
Yeah, I think Dave Meltzer gave one of them matches like five and a half stars or six. Five, something. This, saying it's the highest rated match he's ever rated.
I would rate all five matches somewhere between 4 and 5 out of 5.
That's good then.
That's how good all those five matches were. But yeah, that tag team, Ricochet and also they're poised to be tag team champions at some point.
Probably if they're working that much. See, my issue with this, because I don't watch the current product that often, was I felt like some of these tag teams to me didn't seem to fit together.
Well, sure, yeah.
Almost like they're just throwing two guys together.
Yeah, Nakamura
said, you're a tag team now.
And Rusev have no business being a tag team.
Yeah.
They have and zero...
I'm pretty sure Sheamus and Cesaro have teamed a few times, aren't they? And I think they were tag team champions at one point.
Yeah, yes, they were.
But to me, I'm like, I feel like a tag team should have a name, and they don't have a name.
I think they do. I just think they didn't say. Did I don't know what. I don't.
I don't
know
think
what it
they
is.
Said it. Because you know, like, you've got obviously got like, the Road Warriors, and
yeah, it's not the bar. It's not the bar. I don't think because the bar is. Right. It's the bar. It's
they never said it. They never said.
But there's so many freaking guys in there. How can they have a name?
See, for me, with this match, one of my biggest issues of it, I thought the crowd were really flat, and I thought the crowd were quite flat throughout the show, to be honest, apart from, you know, when high spots were hit. And I don't know if that's just maybe the way modern wrestling audiences have gone, but it just didn't seem to me like they were really kind of like into every match.
Well, based on the crowd for NXT, this crowd was muted.
Yeah, that's it's the scenes where they're muted, apart from like the odd moment, like when Hogan came out and then somebody had hit a massive move. And
yeah,
but they seem to just go really flat in certain spots for me. But then again, is that the problem with a big arena, whereas NXT's done in the smaller arenas, isn't it?
So yeah, so it could be more rowdy. And
then as I'm watching the match and they did that mental suplex, which were like everyone were involved in.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was
cool, but then it made me think, well, it's almost like they're just waiting to do the high spots. That's what it felt like to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there was a lot of meandering in between. Where
I'm probably going to be the negative ninny tonight. So
no, there was some arm bars and this is, you know, low range move. But when you're doing that, like anytime Ricochet was in the match, or even Aleister Black, for a big man, that guy can do some crazy shit. but anytime those two were in the match, there was some high end. Them and the Usos were the ones that. But yeah, I mean, and don't you find? I don't know. As a tag team, maybe it's just me, but I think the Usos are getting stale.
Well, I haven't been watching it, so I don't know. But to me, I don't know. When I saw them, I kind of thought they looked a bit too happy. I mean, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get you. The Usos are trying to be this. We're hard edged. We're badasses, but they're also these happy go lucky. It's like they're trying to balance two kinds of emotion, and it's not meshing. It's like which are you part of the New Day or are you heels? Like you're trying to be this in between and it ain't working. But I'm kind of this like I like the match. And all that, like, you know, jumping, Ricochet and Aleister Black hurling themselves out of the ring at their opponent and stuff like that. And then, like you said, that
suplex, make a suplex
off the top.
Everyone got it. As far as referee went in battle.
How they orchestrated it. I mean, that must have taken a lot of planning to get that right. And Ricochet kind of was on the worst end, but he's the one who got up.
Yeah, he got up first, didn't he? Yeah.
But you know, I liked the match. But then when I saw what they did the next night on SmackDown, or 2 nights later on SmackDown, Here's a spoiler. The Usos faced the Hardy Boys.
I've heard about this, yeah.
And lost the belts to the Hardy Boys. Now, I like the Hardy Boys, don't get me wrong. But can we say their time has passed?
Why weren't the Hardy Boys on the show?
They were. In the pre-show, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Oh, yeah, but they should have been involved in it, really, shouldn't they?
Yeah, but my thing is, okay, you have this tag team that's getting a lot of traction on all three brands. You're gonna have the Usos drop the belt, and you give it to the Hardy Boys?
Okay, but then if you are going to give it to the Hardy Boys, why not do it at WrestleMania? Why wait till SmackDown?
I understand. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. My thing is, why the Hardy? Like, you're trying to push new talent, right?
I get what you mean. Instead of giving it to an exciting new tag team, they're giving it to a tag team that's been around for, God, all of them have been around for now, like 20 years. Oh,
20 years, yeah. but especially because, like, the fans are behind these guys. The only kind of sort of long-range planning I can think of is that maybe they're going to start a program with the Hardy Boys and Aleister Black and Ricochet.
Possibly, which, yeah.
Which would be interesting. Matches. Yeah.
Maybe so, that's what it is. Maybe they think that they need the rub from like a well-known tag team.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's yeah. So
it could be the old boys putting over the new boys type.
Right, it could be a good point. Good point.
Yeah. Would you split the Usos and have them fight each other or something? Or would you turn them heel? Or
well, they're kind of this in between. So I would. Between if you're going to keep them on the roster, if you're going to keep them on the roster, split them up.
See, I think there's nothing worse. You were saying, weren't you, they were kind of like in between us, weren't they? Like they weren't.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the worst place to be in wrestling because people don't know how to react to you.
Yeah.
It's like, do they cheer you? Do they boo you? Because I went to see a wrestling show called Tidal and there was a guy there, a really good wrestler. I can't remember his name. I think it's called Kurt something or other. And he was classed as a tweener and he kind of like, you know, people were, there were like half the crowd kind of cheer. He was almost getting claps. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, good. Yeah, that's a good move and stuff. And I feel like that's the worst place to be because that means you haven't got the right character.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I would almost like split them up, have them fight each other.
Mm.
Or maybe tonight on the brand separation, though.
Just split them up.
One will be on Raw, one will be on SmackDown. Who knows?
Well, yeah.
Or maybe the Usos are taking a break. I don't know.
Maybe they should.
I think they should.
They might be upset that Hulk Hogan's back because I heard. Are they part of that the New Day? Did you say?
No. There's Big E.
Oh, is that not them?
Apparently, Big E. He and Hogan have patched up their.
Oh, have they? Because they didn't look too happy when I watched that Hall of Fame.
Right. No, smiling. But apparently after that at Mania they.
Oh, right.
They patched things up. So.
Fair enough then.
There was that.
Good.
But yeah. So what would you rate this match?
See, I only gave it a star and a half, which might seem harsh, but for me, I was just like, the big moves were good, but it was just too flat throughout, and I was kind of getting a bit bored watching it. So I've been a bit harsh and gone a star and a half.
Okay. I'll give this one a 3.5, because I really like...
I've gone well behind you.
I really like Ricochet, and Aleister Black and Ricochet saved the match for me.
Like the they spots, were the best things in the match.
Yeah.
They're getting my star and a half, basically.
The spots they were doing, basically, I'm like, okay, give these guys a tag team championship.
Yeah.
So they carried the match, without question.
See, I don't know how you feel about Nakamura, but I saw Nakamura a while back when he came through NXT. I didn't like him. I thought his moves looked too unrealistic to kind of buy, you know,
I think he's gonna leave because I don't think the WWE knows what to do with him.
He would have fit like the cruiserweight division years ago in WCW for me. It'd have been great in like that kind of environment.
Then my thing is create a cruiserweight division.
They could do that and get rid of one of mid-card belts, couldn't they?
Yeah.
And have a cruiserweight division on one of your shows because I mean, WCW always used to open with a cruiserweight match, and it used to kind of
like
get
they have it, like WWE has the cruiserweight title, but yeah. it's on 205 Live, which nobody watches.
What the hell is that?
It's on WWE Network. It's a show.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, and that's the main belt on there, and I'm like, but nobody watches that. Like, it's below NXT.
Oh, gosh. I've never even heard of it, so that shows what I know.
Well, there you go. So yeah, I think they need to do a better job of that.
Meltzer gave the match 3.75 stars, so again, you were closer to Meltzer than I was.
Yeah, which is not somewhere I typically want to be, because I'm not really necessarily a fan of his, but...
I'm not either, but, you know...
It is what it is.
I do agree. I think what... because Eric Bischoff's always getting in at Dave Meltzer, isn't he? But yeah. I think maybe he does know what he's talking about when it comes to, like, match ratings and...
Yeah,
And ratings in general, you know, like for TV shows and stuff. But it seems like he's too opinionated in a sense on storylines.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Right.
Are we moving on to the next match?
Let's do it.
The Miz versus Shane McMahon, which for me, I didn't know this would come in. I thought the video package before was really good, and it kind of got me in the mood to watch the match.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know anything about that storyline.
Yeah.
In my head, when I saw the image, I thought, oh, so the Miz is going to turn on Shane McMahon. And they did it the other way around, which I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that at all. So that was, it was like a good setup for the match itself.
No, it was. Yeah.
So, go on. Sorry.
This is one of my favorite matches of the night. Just because it's more closer to old school in terms of, when I say old school, I mean Attitude Era.
It felt, I know, I felt the same thing. It felt like something you'd have got in the Attitude Era, yeah.
And I'm like, all right, no, this is more of what I remember. So, and again, you know, the package sells it, but the idea that Shane turned on The Miz and has been making The Miz's life a living hell, and then, you know, attacked his father or put his hands on his father. All the buildup makes, like, if you've been watching or if you watch the vignette, either way, you're like, I want this guy to literally beat the living hell out of Shane.
He was obviously hot at him because he lost the tag team titles for him, didn't he? That's why he was hot at him, wasn't he? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I kind of liked that.
Yeah. So they each had a beef, if you will.
Yeah. And then, right? From my POV, because I didn't know the storyline, seeing it, Shane McMahon turn on The Miz was better because it was not expected, whereas I thought The Miz was going to turn on him.
Yeah.
Because The Miz has just got that look on his face all the time, like he's going to
be so bad. The Miz, you never know. Like, he can, I think he plays a good heel, but he also plays a good babyface.
Yeah.
But with him, he's one of those guys that on a dime he could turn. So yeah. You never know. But, and it's kind of cool that Shane McMahon is sort of the this era's Mr. McMahon, because.
Mm.
You know, Vince comes out once in a blue moon. And rightfully so. The guy is, you know, almost 80. Scale it back. I love that. How long were they in the ring for? Maybe what?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Not long. I mean, I thought that bit with his dad in the ring went on a little bit too long.
But I liked it because... So basically what happens is there's a moment where Shane McMahon gets the upper hand and is going to do, so they're on the outside and, you know, they've been using the tables, they've been using, or the announce tables, they've been using teleprompters, you know, everything on the outside of the ring, you know, near the announce table. And so The Miz is prone on the announce table and Shane's going to do like an elbow off the top rope. But The Miz's father gets in between so that Shane can leap. So Shane stops, and then The Miz's father gets in the ring. And he's holding up his hand. He's doing a piss poor job of, you know, being in a fighting stance. And so Shane McMahon does this thing where he's pretending to help him, like, set up his fighting stance. And what sold that whole routine is I can't remember the commentator's name, but the commentator is like, oh, see, Shane McMahon, what a nice guy. He's trying to, you know, it was very prototype.
Yeah, that was Jerry.
It was very prototype Jerry Lawler, right? And then Shane being Shane, clocks the Miz's father. And that's when the Miz, you know, suddenly regains form and you know, starts beating the crap out of Shane. So they go all the way into the crowd. And I mean, again, I think they fought on every surface.
Yeah.
Known to man. And the best part of the match was probably when they climbed that, what was it, the camera?
Yeah, I think it was the place to put a camera, wasn't it? Yeah.
The camera.
It was that moment, wasn't it, where you thought Shane McMahon had fallen?
Yeah.
And commentary even was like, and then you were like, oh no, he hadn't, he's just landed on a platform next.
Yeah. So they get on this camera platform, and The Miz sets Shane up for the suplex. And now, he got him pretty high in the air.
Yeah.
And when they land, where did they landed in what? What was it, like a, it's the wrong word, but like a tarp kind of?
Yeah, I think it was a tarp. Yeah, like covering like some probably similar, very cushiony.
Yeah, but they were amazingly high up. So
yeah,
that had to have hurt. Like, regardless of how cushiony that shit might have been.
Well, it took them a long time to get him out, didn't it?
Well. Yeah. And so the way they... But the cool thing is, so Shane gets suplexed, but the way they land, the Miz's shoulders are pinned down.
And it's it was a really good, really good finish.
And it's a false count anywhere match. Yeah. So the ref starts counting, and Shane wins the match.
Which to me would say this feud isn't over.
No, because, well, the next night on SmackDown, or two nights later on SmackDown, Shane comes up bragging about how he beat The Miz. And you know, so that to me seems like it's going to continue. But yeah. I thought it was a brilliant ending. And I thought the spots were vintage Attitude Era. And it's at least for the purposes of Mania, it's a good culmination of this rivalry.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really like this match. I'll go ahead and give it a 4.
Okay. I was at a 3. This is one of my higher rated matches. Well, Dave Meltzer gave it 1.75 stars.
What?
I know.
How?
So he didn't like it.
Like, in the context of the match that it is. I mean, there wasn't much technical about it, but that's not the kind of match it is.
But it was a good story, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what Eric Bischoff's always talking about with Dave Meltzer. Like, he don't tend to kind of take the story into... Because wrestling matches are always supposed to be about telling stories.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like the culmination or the continuation of a storyline.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't always work, don't get me wrong, but it was definitely... You know, one that should have got probably.
Yeah, I would have. I would have at least given your rating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Move on to the next match then.
That's going to keep it rolling.
So, this was another four way tag team title match for the women's tag team titles, which again, I'm like, why are you doing a four way match? But we'll get to that. And it was the Iconics. The Boss and Hug Connection versus Beth Phoenix and Natalya, and there's Nia Jax and Tamina. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Best bit for me about this match was when the Bret Hart music kicked in. Obviously, it was the start of it, wasn't it, for Natalya?
Oh, for sure,
I actually went a bit, and then Bret came out. I liked that bit.
Yeah, but I liked that Bret was there.
Yeah, I did too, because he was there for the Hall of Fame, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he got attacked.
Which, how good did the Honky Tonk Man look, by the way? He looks so slim.
Oh, he looks like not much has changed.
I think he were thinking, I need to get in shape for this.
He should have interrupted Elias and hit him over the head with the guitar.
I'd have liked that.
No, I would have, yeah, that would have been a highlight of the night.
I'd have liked that. Maybe then you could have had Cena come out and check out Honky Tonk Man as well.
Yeah, and then and then you have a proper heel turn.
Yeah. But yeah, this match for me
didn't do much.
It's not hard these days, it doesn't sound. Mm. Yeah, I thought this match was a bit really flat. I don't think the crowd were into it much either. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't even remember the finish. That's how much I don't remember about it.
Well, it was funny because I think that it was Beth Phoenix who put a power move on, I think it was Tamina. And, it was Sasha Banks.
Right.
Like, she'd done the finishing move, but then she got taken out by Nia Jax, the one of the members of the Iconics. Came in and got the pin. Now, a couple of problems with this. To me, the Boston Hug Connection is the stupidest name I've ever heard. It's nowhere close to the Rock and Sock connection.
No.
The second thing is, I just don't get, like, when I watch Tamina and Nia Jax, I don't give a crap about either character. Like, I have no interest in either of them. The only tag team with any real skill in this match, like wrestling skill, was Natalya and Beth Phoenix.
Yeah.
And those should be, based on that alone, those two should be women's tag team champion.
Yeah. I mean, I was hoping they'd win it, and I think the crowd were more into them than anyone else.
Yeah.
When they came out.
And I don't know what it is, but it always seems to me that Natalya gets the shaft from WWE, and she's like the glorified jobber. And it bugs me. I mean, the best spot of the night was when she does the double sharpshooter on...
Totally agree.
Right? And so... But... Just... And I don't... Like, these Iconics, the way they're being sold, like, I don't know if they can wrestle because you barely see them do anything in the ring. I mean, for all I know, they might be good wrestlers, but
they sound like an 80s pop group.
Yeah, but exactly. But you don't see it because they're running around being ditzy and stupid. Now, granted, they're both decent looking. I mean, in the looks department, they got it all, you know, I'm down. They may or may not make the list. I won't spoil it. But in terms of in-ring capability, I have no idea if they know what they're doing because you never actually see them really engage in much wrestling, right? No.
I only watched them in this match and I didn't see much of them. So
the fact that you put the tag team titles on these idiots, I don't know. It seems like terrible booking to me. I hated this match. I think it was terrible. And I got nothing more to say on it.
I gave it 1 star.
Yeah, I'll give it one, and the only reason I'm giving it one is for the sharpshooter, the double sharpshooter.
Well, Dave Meltz gave it 1.25, so we're kind of in the same region.
There you go.
So next match for me was the best match of the night, and that was the WWE Championship, which was Daniel Bryan defending against Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
This for me was the best match of the night. I actually really enjoyed this match. It's probably the only one, well, and then one other that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Some of the backstage stuff bothered me though, when it kept going back to backstage. I think they should have not done that. It kind of took away from the match at points, which is why I've dropped the rating slightly from what Apollo would have given it if not, which I won't spoil yet.
Now, which backstage stuff bothered you the most? Like, what bothered you the most?
You know, like when it kept going backstage to what the wrestlers watching the match.
I see what you're saying.
Didn't like it. I just were like, just stay on the match. I don't care about people watching the match. I didn't see what purpose it served at all. At the beginning.
They're trying to show that the whole roster is behind that.
Why didn't they do the old school thing and have him come out to the ramp? doing the old school days. He used to come to the ramp to watch it, didn't they?
Which was
a little bit. Yeah. But they could have just gone to him at the beginning. They didn't have to keep going to him for me. That was one of my issues. But aside from that, that's like nitpicking. I thought both guys just worked the socks off to try and entertain the fans.
Yeah.
So, for me, this was definitely the best match of the night.
These two guys delivered. each one got to do their, you know, like I said, got to showcase their repertoire. They're both amazing in-ring performers, and they really sold the story of Kofi overcoming the odds after being held down by all these years, Vince, right? And so you were really, you know, whether you've been watching for a couple of weeks like me and you kind of saw the like how Vince was trying to hold him down, or whether you saw the vignette that explained it all.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
You've got to be an absolute jackass if you're cheering for Daniel Bryan at this point.
Kofi seems like one of those underdog guys that you wanted to see him do well.
But he seems like to me, it's not on the same level. But he's got the crowd like Hogan did. Like not to the same level. But the crowd is behind him.
I actually have enough notes how much the crowd will be, because obviously I've not seen too much of this guy. I mean, I've seen him a bit over years, and to me, he always seemed a bit of a mid-carder back in there. But watching the vignette and seeing him, how much the crowd will be behind him, I thought, well, I can see why they've got this guy going for this belt.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, which this isn't spoiling anything, the United States title match was later on in the card than this, and I don't get that. Why was this not? This should have been.
Yeah.
This I should get have been maybe the, having it, it behind, you know. I mean, it's not going to go on last because the women were going on last. But no, maybe it should have
been the second.
Maybe have it behind. Maybe have it. I mean, maybe they didn't want the crowd to go two up and then up. You know, they have to go up again. So maybe you could have had it before the Triple H Batista match or something.
Yeah.
You know, just to break it up a bit. But
yeah,
having it this low below the two mid card belts, I didn't understand that.
Yeah. But no, you know, like I said. Each performer got to do their spot. So they all looked really good, and the amount of close pinfalls, like, it really gets you emotionally invested in the match.
And the crowd were into the match, which makes a huge difference.
And you know what the cool thing was too? I wasn't sure which way this match was going to go, for the simple fact that I thought, okay, Vince already gave the fans what they wanted in you know, what's his name?
Rollins
winning the Universal Championship. I wasn't sure. I said, okay, of the three title matches, one of the main guys is like Vince is not going to do a 3-for-3 exactly what the fans want. He never does. So I was sure that because Vince was involved in the storyline, I said, Vince is going to come out and screw this guy over.
Maybe it was, maybe they wanted you to think that going in.
Maybe so. And if so, that's great storytelling.
Yeah.
So when he won, I was surprised and I was really happy about it. And thank God, for the love of God, that they got rid of that stupid, vegan, eco-friendly.
And I only heard about this vegan stuff today.
It's the ugliest, stupid thing I've ever seen. Like, listen, you want to be pro the environment, recycling, reduce, reuse, recycle, the whole nine yards. I'm all for that. But this is a vegan. What would they said vegan, right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
give me a break. It's the ugliest thing known to man. I'm so glad that they had a new belt for like Kofi.
The vegan championship.
So stupid. I wish they would have thrown
him. Is he a vegan in real life, or was it just something that
didn't No, I think he is, but I don't give a rat's. Look, I don't give a shit.
What was it made of? Wood or something?
Yeah, some wood or fucking recycled materials.
I just looked at it and thought it looked like a bit of cardboard.
It did. It looked like it looked worse than, you know, the toys that they sell of the belts?
Yeah, yeah.
The cheap toys at Walmart. It looked worse than that. So I'm glad the New Day got rid of it and there's a new belt. And again, nothing against vegans or eco-friendly people, but that belt looks ugly.
Yeah, yeah. It looks as bland as that kind of food.
Yeah. And it was a tofu championship.
Tofu championship. So what did you rate this one then?
I'll pull a Meltzer and say I'll do the point, whatever.
Yeah,
I'll do a 4.4.
Okay. Well, Meltzer gave it 4.5, so you're really close.
Oh, well, Dave, and we may be on a new level menu. We may be able to get along.
I gave it 4 stars, and like I say, it would have had 4.5 from me as well if it hadn't been for those backstage things.
All right, cool.
But I felt like I had to drop it a little bit for that. So, and then next up was this might have been worst match at night for me. United States title, Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio.
Oh God.
Rey Mysterio's outfit was interesting because he came out dressed like Mysterio, but then he kind of revealed a bit of Aquaman under it, didn't he? That's what I got from it, yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like Rey Mysterio, now I watched him and I thought, this isn't the Rey Mysterio I used to watch. Does he just come in and get jobbed out now?
It seems like that. Like, okay, here's my thing. Why? Why did this match even need to happen? Like, I understand that Mysterio may have an actual legitimate injury, which is what hampered the length of the match. But Samoa Joe's already the champion.
Yeah.
He's already he already has this undefeated streak going, okay?
Mm.
What does coming out and beating Rey Mysterio, how long did the match last?
I don't even know. Not very long, right?
45 seconds?
Yeah, like
a minute and a half.
And Rey Mysterio just got beaten up.
Yeah, so what does coming out and beating the crap out of Rey Mysterio? Look,
you know what they've been better off doing? They've been better off having Samoa Joe come out, and then Rey Mysterio comes out, and then he has to forfeit the match, and then just have Samoa Joe destroy him. Because at least then it's a storyline and not a crap match, and you think like Samoa Joe's angry that he couldn't have his match and stuff.
Yeah.
Do something like that. Rather than putting him in a, like you say, like what were it, 45-second match?
But here's my problem, though. Like I get what Rey Mysterio was in WCW. I get it, right? But he's not insanely over in the WWE. So doing this doesn't put Samoa Joe anymore over or grow his mystique at all.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel like Rey Mysterio should probably retire now, to be honest.
Yeah, like, had he come out and beat up a legend, right? That would have been better than watching that match.
I mean, you could have had him, like, say, you could have had his match getting cancelled and he's having him angry because it's cancelled. And then, like, maybe he just comes out and beats up someone, like, one of the Hall of Famers or somewhere.
Yeah.
Just do something to get a bit more heat on him. Because that was one of my problems with this show, actually. I felt like it was all a bit like formulaic in a sense, and I felt like there was nothing like I've just talked about, nothing to kind of like make you. I can't really explain the word I'm trying to find. Do you know what I mean, though?
I hear you. Yeah.
It kind of lacked something like that for me, where you know the like I say, if he'd come out and beat up a legend, say he'd come out and beat up, I don't know, like Booker T or someone.
Yeah.
How good would that have been?
That'd be something. Because it hasn't, wasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Booker T a US champion at one point?
Oh, yeah.
So,
he all the belts in WCW.
Yeah, so he's trying to prove a point. You know, I'm the best US champion there ever was.
Yeah.
Beating up a guy like Booker T would kind of create that storyline. Whereas beating up Rey Mysterio is just pointless.
Yeah, I agree.
This was a waste of time, a waste of a minute and 45 seconds on the card, however long it lasted. It was easily, without question, the worst thing I've ever seen at a WrestleMania.
Yeah, it didn't belong on a WrestleMania.
So what would you rate this match?
Dave Meltzer didn't rate it for obvious reasons. I'm going to give it 0.5 star. That's been
no, I give it 0. Nothing. It sucked. It sucked. It doesn't deserve anything. You know, the best part was when it ended. That was it.
Right, shall we move on then to Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre?
Batman and Robin has a better rating than this one. And that's sad. But yeah, let's move on to Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
I thought the video package is very emotional, but I didn't feel like the match lived up to it, in my opinion. I don't know if you agree.
I think it was too quick.
Yeah, and I felt like the crowd were a bit flat for it.
And maybe it was just me, but I agree with you there. But also, did you not find that it was too one-sided in Roman's favor?
Yeah.
Like, I get that you want to put him over, right? And for the emotion of the match, you know, his comeback match, and this guy's put him through hell for a couple of weeks and tormented him. So you're going to put him over. But at least have him overcome some odds, right? Like, at least have McIntyre dominate at least a little bit of the match. But that didn't happen. It was just predominantly Roman Reigns doing a couple of the signature moves, and that was it.
I felt like he was almost like they brought him back in just because they felt like they needed to bring him back in, you know, because he's obviously come back from his cancer battle and that. Why not have him come in and fight Samoa Joe? You don't even have to win the belt. He could still come off looking good. Maybe he wins by disqualification or even loses by disqualification or something. You know, just something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid point. But even the way they built up the storyline was fine.
Mm.
But you're telling me now for weeks that he beats the crap out of, you know, he torments Roman Reigns. And now when it comes time to WrestleMania, he can barely get a lick in?
Yeah. Because this should have been the great comeback, shouldn't it? So you should have had him getting beaten down and he has to come back.
Yeah, and the funny thing is they finally got the fans on Roman Reigns' side, which is what they've been trying to do for years.
Yeah.
So you have, and you don't capitalize it by having him go through more to make it even look like he's going to lose.
Yeah. Definitely.
So.
I gave it one star anyway.
Yeah, it was very predictable. Like.
Yeah, it was. Did you think he was going to lose? I didn't.
No, there was no there was no scenario where he was going to lose that match.
And so, I think that's probably the problem.
Yeah.
Well, Dave Meltzer gave it 2 stars.
So he I'm with you. I'll give it a 1.
Yeah. So shall we move on to the next match? And
let's go right into it, yeah.
The vignette for this made me laugh at Triple H versus Batista. Ric Flair on his birthday. Poor guy.
That was funny. Yeah, that was funny.
My personal opinion on this, I think Triple H, he's got the best entrances in the business ever for me.
Especially at WrestleMania.
Even just going back to his standard one where he used to come out, which he sort of does a bit of here and he comes out, spits the water out. That was epic. But then, you know, he obviously had his Terminator entrance years before, didn't he, and stuff, and he had his, like, King Conan entrance.
Well, he burned himself on that entrance, eh?
Yeah, I know, that was bad, that, yeah. And then this one, he comes out Mad Max style, and I thought it was really cool. And I absolutely loved that theme, time to play the game. I think it's just epic.
Yeah.
I agree. I do wonder, I thought the match was a bit gimmicky, and I don't know if that was to cover up some of Batista's ring rust, maybe.
I think they both have ring rusts, to be honest.
Yeah, with well, Triple H is like semi-retired now. Well, Bobby Mullen's semi-retired. He's probably like, he's sort of become like a McMahon, isn't he? And he's like a bit of a bad CEO in a sense, isn't he, nowadays?
Yeah, well, he is the CEO now at this point,
I still kind of enjoyed it, and there were points in that I thought were great. And Shawn Michaels is on commentary, so it's quite cool to see him come out and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't like the nose ring bit. That made me cringe.
Oh, it made me cringe, but it was cool.
Yeah, it was like, cool, yeah.
I'm like, what's he going to do with those tweezers? Where are they going with this?
They could have gone a lot worse.
Like, how far are they going to go with this thing here now?
Yeah, so I thought it was decent enough. It's not the match they would have had 10 years ago, but...
No, but it was an old, again, old school throwback to the Attitude Era.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. But when I watched this, I went back and watched the, you remember the Sting match from a couple of years ago?
Yeah, oh, but that has the added bonus of the DX comes out, the NWO comes out.
But again, that's something I felt this mania was missing. Like, there was nothing huge like that for me.
Though, I did enjoy, just to segue for a second, when they go in the back, and you remember those guys from Saturday Night Live? Because they had been in the Battle Royal, and Braun Strowman just destroyed them, right? So they're in the back, and my one of my multiverse wives, Alexa Bliss, is like, don't worry, guys. And I haven't given her a number yet, so I can't. Just rocketing up the chart, folks, because I just realized that a couple of years ago, she did a whole bit where she was Harley Quinn.
Yeah, and, I remember seeing pictures of that back in the day. Yeah.
And I wasn't watching at that time, so I'm like, shit, now I gotta go back and see that because that's two of my multiverses colliding here. So I'm gonna check that out. So she's
maybe I should give it a 35 because she was on WrestleMania 35.
You know, that's actually a good idea. I'll take that under advisement. This is good. I'll take that under advisement. She's like, don't worry, we have the best medical staff here. You'll be well taken care of. So she leaves, and the two doctors behind, and you know, they're wearing the mask that cover your face.
Yeah,
you know,
the surgical. Yeah.
That's the word. And so they pull it down, and one is Kevin Nash, and he's like, shall we start with a colonoscopy? And he's like pulling up the glove. And then Scott Hall pulls his mask down. He's like, all you hear is, hey, yo. And that was it. And I thought that was the funniest little bit that I was dying. The only thing it was missing was had he thrown the toothpick at one of them.
That would have been cool, yeah.
I was waiting for that.
They look like they were just happy to be there to me.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to the match. There are a couple of spots that I love. I love that both Triple H got the pedigree on the steps.
Yeah, that was my favorite bit actually.
And also, even Batista got his finisher on the stairs.
Yeah, I don't know why it's just called now.
Neither do I. But
do you know what I like about Triple H's finisher, right? Because some wrestling finishes are a bit, when you look at them and you think about it, they're a bit lame. Like they won't work. I feel like Triple H's finish would actually probably kill you if you actually did it properly.
The pedigree,
yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I know. I kind of know it's kind of like cool to hate on Triple H, especially being like such a Bret Hart fan. But I kind of appreciate a lot what Triple H did. And he's still doing, in a sense.
But think about it. He's responsible for NXT.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if the talent improves going forward and coming up, that's thanks to Triple H. Because if it was up to just Vince, it'd just be, let's bring in more big guys like Brock Lesnar.
You've got to remember, because we said Dimmer Vince is, what, 80 now. You know, in his day, that's what worked, didn't it?
Yeah, you got to change with the times.
Oh, yeah, of course you do. Yeah, yeah.
And again, Triple H, who is directly responsible for NXT, every time they put on a show, at least from the couple that I've watched, it's been the best wrestling I've watched in years. So
yeah,
for that alone, I'm thankful. But yeah, for sure. Yeah. And also... I love when he did it when he was on the table and he kind of speared, he leaped over the table to spear.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah,
spear Batista, and he did before he ran across the tables. He did the suck it motion.
Yeah,
it made me laugh.
Yeah. What would you rate this one?
Again, it was an old school throwback to the Attitude Era, and I liked it. It wasn't anywhere close to his other hardcore matches because he's older now and whatever.
Mm.
But I'll still give it a 4.
Are you going that high? I didn't mean you were going to go that high. Yeah. I've got 2.5 stars, which I thought was a decent enough rating for it.
Mm.
So Meltzer gave it 2. So I was a bit higher than Meltzer at least.
Again, maybe it's my nostalgia for the Attitude Era.
Yeah, well there you go, because you fell in love with the story of it, didn't you, and stuff. So I think that's absolutely fine. It's a valid.
And I love the fact that Ric Flair, by the way, brought him out the sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And part of the finish was him leaping over the stairs, and hitting Batista with a sledgehammer.
Yeah,
and
I like that. By the way,
when he quote unquote hit him with a sledgehammer, you can see that it was nowhere close to like. It wasn't even close to touching him. Like,
no.
Like the timing was so way off. But still, it's vintage Triple H finish, so. Yeah, and Ric Flair was involved.
It's all right. He's like, you can still buy into it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, yeah. So, next match for me was the most disappointing one. And it was Kurt Angle's retirement match against Baron Corbin. Why did Baron Corbin not have ring gear on? Does he not wrestle in ring gear, or is he not?
No, that's his outfit. That's his outfit.
Why
and
is he wearing a shirt?
I don't know. Look, they're trying to sell me this guy.
Kurt Angle should have won this match.
But they're trying to sell me this guy, and I don't buy him at all.
Like, I don't even know. You look like an old country singer to me or something.
Sorry. He doesn't like. I don't know. Does he? Again, I've never seen this guy actually quote unquote wrestle for a long period of time, so I don't know if he has any actual in ring talent. But it doesn't look like you can't package this guy to be a champion. I'm sorry.
Like, again, sorry, go on.
He cannot carry any belt. I'm sorry, just can't.
No, but going back to Samoa Joe, him and Kurt Angle have got history in TNA and stuff. Maybe that would have been a better attack match for Kurt as well. You know, we're talking about different
matches. Anybody like would have been better stuff. Than this.
Yeah, anybody.
Fight Honky Tonk Man. I don't give a.
Having put over Roman Reigns, let's do something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like this. I think Kurt Angle deserved better. In fact, I was actually a bit shocked how Kurt Angle looked because he looks like he's literally got no neck now. Yeah. Which was a bit awful to see. But I just got this feeling this isn't his last match. It's caught a feeling. I mean, you're putting him in a tag match or something, you know.
My thing is, have him come in, like when Cena's back on the roster, have him come in and face heel Cena.
And do all that one more match thing. And
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if he'd have lost to Cena, I think fair enough, you know. But losing to this, whatever he is, this Garth Brooks wannabe.
Yeah.
I was just like, what?
Yeah, it was stupid.
The crowd went into it all. They just wanted to watch. In fact, they all looked shocked, didn't they, when Kurt Angle didn't win?
Yeah, and they all the only time they cheered was when Kurt Angle got in the mic and said he wanted them to start to
You suck.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it was terrible. Like, I don't understand what WWE's issue is with guys that are having quote unquote retirement matches gotta lose. Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, well, Eric Bischoff said it on his podcast, and he's like, because he let Jericho win before he left or something. And he's like, well, why not? Because why the rest? He thinks people concentrate too much on finishes and stuff. And I think he's got a point. Like, if the crowd wanted Kurt Angle to win, it wouldn't harm Baron Corbin because he's not over anyway.
Yeah.
Just let Kurt Angle win. Even if it's a DQ.
And by the way, just to circle back to Triple H for a second.
Yeah.
Since he's already quasi-retired, and I know Batista's leaving anyway.
Yeah.
But I would have had Batista win that and make it a full-on retirement match.
Possibly.
That's what I would have done.
But the Apollo, well, saying that, it pretty much was good guy night, wasn't it?
It was, but
most
yeah.
Of this, yeah. I think that was a big mistake. That's
how I would have booked it, personally.
I actually think this match should have been earlier in the card as well. I think this was a bit too later in the card.
Kurt Angle.
I'd have had it like second.
I didn't like this match. I think it underserved the guy of talent, and he should have won.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the guy who had great matches with Hogan, Sting, people when they were completely, you know,
he fought The Rock. He's been a main eventer before. And you put him with this jackass?
Yeah, exactly.
I disagree.
And he got a good match out of Brock Lesnar as well. You know, talking about Brock Lesnar earlier.
Yeah, and Lesnar is not easy to get a good match out.
So I give this half a star.
No, I give this it's another zero. It was a waste.
He gave it one star, did Meltzer.
And I love Angle, but it's such a disservice to him that I can't even give it half a star because of Angle.
I know. And for me, Kurt Angle, greatest in-ring of all time for me. Like, he could do everything.
Well, he's up there for sure.
He's definitely in the conversation.
Oh, for sure.
Top three, top five, definitely.
Agreed.
And he deserved better.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Even a vignette, an in-ring vignette where he just Angle slams somebody would have been better than this crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, should we move on to the next match then?
Let's do it.
Right, this is the best looking belt in the company at the minute, the Intercontinental Championship.
It's a classic, right?
Yeah. I'm so glad they brought that back because it's such a good looking belt. Yeah. And it was Bobby Lashley defending against Finn Balor, aka the Demon.
Yeah.
So, what are your thoughts on this?
I love that they brought back the Demon for this.
Yeah.
And I think the Demon. Look. WWE needs a character like this.
Yeah.
I would almost see. I understand their point of only bring it back for like important feuds or important matches.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'd love to see this character on a regular basis.
Do you think maybe if they did it on a regular basis, then maybe it'd get a bit stale and maybe they want it to be like a special...
Sure. Like I said, I get the logic.
Yeah.
But I love the character. So... the entrance was fantastic, but again, he, like, both of these guys are technically skilled in terms of wrestling, and two things happened. I thought the match was too quick.
Yeah,
and I thought I get that Finn Balor was going to win because you can't bring back the demon and have him lose.
Yeah, exactly.
It defeats the mystique of the demon, right? If you do that.
Yeah,
but. He had too much control in the match.
Oh, totally. It's another one of the situations that we'll talk about Roman Reigns, where it's like he's in control of it. The heel should be in control of the match.
Yeah. Especially if you want to build up the you know, this impervious to pain, or he can overcome great pain, or there's some mysticism about him or whatever.
Yeah.
He's part of Irish lore or whatever the whole of the angle is. You have to have the hero character come back from adversity, right? And in this match, there was no adversity. There was no question that they, you know what it felt like? Remember when Ultimate Warrior came back that time against Triple H?
And he destroyed him.
And beat him in like 2 seconds?
Yeah, yeah.
It felt like that.
See, I think this match maybe would have been better served if it had had longer.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about some of the other matches you could have cut if they'd got longer in the ring. You know, I actually think it would have been quite cool to have done it as like a ladder match or something as well, you know, because the Intercontinental Championship is quite kind of synonymous with ladder matches. Mm-hmm. I think something like that would have made it... It didn't feel special enough for me.
Yeah, good call.
You know, going through the night. And I think I'm not the hugest fan of gimmick matches. I think you do them every so often, but I don't think there was enough of those kind of like special... Yeah. Matches on this.
Hey, maybe they'll do it on Money in the Bank with whoever his next opponent is.
Yeah, maybe. Well, they're a lot of matches anyway, aren't they?
But maybe...
For the briefcase.
Oh, for the briefcase, yeah.
All right, sorry, yeah.
But I'm just saying for the internet. Or maybe save that for SummerSlam.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Like, you know what I would actually do? Like, have the Irish guy, which is Finn Balor, right?
Yeah.
Against the Scottish guy, Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
And have them feud for the
Battle of Britain.
Yeah. And have them feud for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And like you could play into the whole thing where Drew McIntyre thinks that like Scottish mythology is better and screw that Irish mythology.
Yeah.
And the demon and all the bullshit of the Finn Balor stuff. Like go into that whole spiel and then build up the feud from now until SummerSlam. That's what I would do.
But yeah,
again, I'm not booking, but me and you have come up, and not to be biased, we've come up with two or three ideas that are better.
Well, I think if we'd have booked this show, it would have been shorter, and we'd have probably would have had some better matches.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would have been co-hosting with Alexa Bliss.
I'd have been cupping my hand to my ear like with Hulk Hogan. for me, I give the match 1 star. I thought it was really fun. I was a bit disappointed in this match because this was the one I thought was probably.
I was excited for it.
Yeah, I was. I thought this was the one I was most excited for, actually, funnily enough. And I think it's because I just love the Intercontinental Championship. It's always been my favorite title. So, star. I didn't think it. They didn't get long enough, and they didn't get to tell a story for me. It was almost like they got sent out there, and it were like, right, Bobby. You're putting Finn over, make it happen in 7 minutes or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it was too quick.
Dave Meltzer gave it 1.25 stars as well, so he wasn't that far off.
I'll give it a 1. I was really looking forward to this match.
Yeah, I totally was, and I was really disappointed in it.
Like the best part was the intro.
Yeah. Definitely. You probably could, if you haven't watched WrestleMania yet, watch the intro, then fast forward.
Yeah, and then fast forward again.
So we are now at the main event, the Women's Championship match, which was Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch. And this was second best match of the night for me. Don't know if you agree.
I think it'd be my favorite, just by a
okay.
Just by a smidge.
A smidge. That went for a while.
What did I rate? I can't remember what I even rated the.
Well, the highest rating you've given so far was Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan, which was 4.5.
Okay. Yeah. So this is slightly higher than that, and we'll see how slight in a bit. Yeah. But I like everything from Charlotte Flair's entrance, which was fantastic with the helicopter taking her to the.
It was very Ric Flair, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was a standard profile and the whole thing. The whole nine yards where she's waiting.
Woo!
Yeah, she's waiting for the guy with. You're gonna do that every show, aren't you?
Yeah.
She's waiting for the guy with her robe, right? You know, even Ronda Rousey coming out to Joan Jett or whatever the hell that was, performing her theme.
Yeah, they performed it, didn't they?
But again, like the pop for Becky Lynch, I haven't seen that kind of pop in quite some time.
It was loud, yeah. I still think Hogan was slightly louder, but maybe I had the speakers a bit louder.
Right, but I'm talking about current, current superstars.
Yeah.
Like
newer, of all the superstars on the show, she got the biggest pop.
Yeah, out, like 100%. In terms of newer and up and comer.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that both challengers wanted to pin, like they kept putting an emphasis on pinning Rousey.
Mm.
And you could see that they were all trying. So, or the both of them. And it to me was, I get these triple threat matches, you could pin anybody, right? But I love the idea if you're gonna win the belt, you gotta pin the champion.
But didn't Charlotte have one of the belts?
She did, but I'm just saying, like,
right.
Well, Becky was trying to pin both, but I like the fact that
they
were both targeting for Ronda because she's quote unquote the face. She was the face of the women's division, right?
Yeah.
And again,
go on, sorry.
I think all three women are very exceptionally technically sound.
Oh yeah, definitely. He was a really good. I mean, back when I used to watch women's wrestling, it was Brian Panty's matches. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which I have nothing against. You know,
no,
not both women made my list, but you know,
yeah.
that's you know, it's nice to see. Look, I'll go ahead and say, you know, 98.9% of these women are all smoking hot. But the great thing about them now is that they can all actually wrestle, or you know, the majority can actually wrestle now too.
Yeah.
Which is good. It legitimizes the women's division.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's more talent there now than there ever has been. So, well, at least in this country, I know it's always been quite huge in Japan and stuff, hasn't it? But
yeah.
In America, I mean. You know, in the terms of the American wrestling, it's never been like this.
Right.
I love the moment where Rousey and Becky put Charlotte Flair through the table to like eliminate her from the match.
Yeah.
And it kind of works in a sense because now Charlotte Flair didn't get beat. Charlotte Flair can almost come back and be like, well, you won't even beat me.
I think she will, though, too, as well, because...
Yeah, well, that match is going to happen, isn't it? There's
that match possibility, but there's also what's that girl, you know, did they show her in Mania, the Southern Belle Lacey something or other? She has that really,
I don't recall.
Well, anyway, there's this other girl, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she came out recently and like surprise attacked Becky Lynch, so I think they're gonna put her against Becky Lynch first.
Right. But okay.
At some point, there's
a build up to Charlotte for SummerSlam. You know, that's your next big one.
Yeah, like I would do Becky and this other woman at Money in the Bank.
Yeah,
and maybe also have her do a couple of months with Becky.
Yeah,
and have Becky beat her both times. But then save SummerSlam for Charlotte.
Yeah. And I think as well, if you give that away on one of the smaller pay-per-views, you're almost doing a disservice to it, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was one spot where, again, much like the the men's tag team match, all three women were involved. I think it was a top rope. Was it a power bomb?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, yeah. And then there was the part on the rope where it was Charlotte and Ronda was putting the arm bar on.
Yes.
On Charlotte, like she was outside the rope and she was putting it on, like the arm bar on. And then I love the fact that Becky Lynch does the sliding baseball tackle kick and knocks Ronda out of the ring. That was a pretty good bump.
Definitely. They're all fantastic wrestlers, these three.
Yeah, they're all. I mean, it was an amazing match. And again, like the way the ref would count and the amount of close finishes and how, Charlotte really, again, because I wasn't sold, because I didn't think Vince had the, as Mankind and Cactus Jack and Dude Love would say, the testicular fortitude to give the fans what they wanted on all three big matches, I thought that there was an outside chance that Charlotte would win.
I knew Becky. I thought it was Becky's
moment. Like my heart was telling me Becky.
But I guess no, Vince McMahon like you do.
But my mind was like, well, Vince, and you never know. Like Vince always likes to stick it to the fans at some point. So I thought that there was a possibility. But there was a point where she had the upper hand. And I love when Charlotte puts people in the figure eight.
Yeah, that's cool. That was
cool. What a great move. I love that move.
Yeah. Put me in it, she wants.
Well, you're talking about a whole different movie. This is a made of PG podcast, my friend.
Sorry.
And while you're getting in that move, I'm sure. I want to see what Alexis's finisher is. Whatever that is, let's go for it. I want a moment. You'll be getting the figure eight, and I'll be getting a moment of bliss. And that's all. And that's all it would take.
Sounds good.
I'm okay with that.
So the finish. Right. Obviously, Becky pins Rousey, which I knew was coming. Intentional error with the shoulders, or do you think it was accidental?
So you're thinking so that maybe she could come back and say
100%. As soon as they did it, I mean, there's been talk on the internet about was it an accident or was it intentional? But the fact that Rousey afterwards was talking about shoulders not being on the mat, it made me think, well, I think she's going to come back at some point.
Well, here's the thing. She's. I think she's leaving to go start a family, right?
Yeah.
But you've got to think that eventually she's going to come back.
Or was it one of those, you get that the wrestler don't want to put the person over, do they just go, well, we'll do it in such a way that you get beat, but you don't get beat. Do you know what I mean?
My thing is, what's the point of doing that if you're not going to come back around and pay it off?
Yeah, but then again, you remember it's Vince McMahon, so.
Like with Bret Hart, it was actually a screw job, so it's different.
Yeah, that's a lot different. Yeah, I definitely think it was. I don't think it was an accident. I think it was definitely intentional.
Yeah, like I think to me, if she goes off and has a family, right?
Yeah.
So she's going to take about a year, a year and 9 months off.
Mm. Well, so if she gets pregnant straight away, it doesn't always go like you plan.
Well, assuming that her husband is, capable of getting the job done, as they say. My point is, again, with SmackDown going to Fox, they're going to want a recognizable name for both the men and female division to headline that show at some point.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think Fox would love to have Rousey on their
100%,
show?
100%, yeah. 100%.
I think you can bill it as whenever Rousey does come back, and I don't think she's done with WWE. I really don't.
No, I don't either.
She, apparently, by all accounts, loves it. So when she does come back, I think she'll be the one of the faces of SmackDown. On Fox.
Here's the thing. If you can't get her back for the next Mania, do you get her back for the following SummerSlam?
I would think so. It has to be one of the biggies.
Yeah. Maybe even the following Survivor Series.
Like, you know, even if you can't have her fight, just have her interject in one of the matches.
Because she can just literally come back and be like, you didn't pin me.
Like, let's say she comes in. Like, let's say she gets pregnant. She has a kid, right? As she's recuperating, as she's getting back into, you know, in-ring, whatever, shape. Or stamina, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
She can interject herself into the women's championship match. Like, come in, hit somebody with a chair. You know, so just interfere in the matches.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
To build up the
you know, could even maybe have a cost of the title at some point, and then
right.
So add a bit of heat to it. But right. Maybe it could be like an unintentional one where she's outside the ring or something, and she says something to her, and then.
But I think you got to keep this on Becky Lynch for a good while.
Yeah, maybe till. Well, you could even maybe even just go till SummerSlam or Survivor Series, couldn't you? You know, and then. Because they probably wanted to get. What they'll probably do is, they always like to get the belt off the hero before the next WrestleMania. So they can go for it again, usually. That's usually been like a bit of a formula. So maybe they'll go with that.
So I mean, you're saying do it at SummerSlam?
Or Survivor Series, yeah.
I would do Survivor Series. Give her a good.
And then have her win like the Women's Royal Rumble or something. Or maybe even lose it and get her into self-interjected in the title scene in another way. And there's ways around it. Because
I know that one of the feuds is after hosting WrestleMania, Alexa Bliss had her first match back. So now she's having a feud with Sasha Banks and her partner Bayley there.
Yeah.
So either there's going to be a three-way between those three, or she's going to pick. I mean, she came back and kicked the crap out of Bayley in her first match back.
Right.
So I think the end game for right now for Alexa Bliss is to do a program with Sasha. But after that, you got to remember that Rousey beat Alexa Bliss for the title. So she's probably going to want to get herself back into that picture as well.
They've got a lot of options, haven't they?
Are they going to keep both belts on?
That wasn't my question.
On Becky,
does she defend one and then the other, or is she just going to defend them unified all the time?
Or are they going to unify it and have her on both brands? Like, tonight's episode, as of this recording, tonight's episode of Raw is going to be very interesting because they're doing the brand, you know, shakeup. So, what do you do with Becky? Do you have her on both shows?
That's and
if you if you put her on one show, then she's got to drop the other belt. And maybe have a tournament. See, that would be a smart thing to do too.
Well, maybe she could defend. Do you ever see that match years ago with Kurt Angle and I think it was Chris Jericho, and they fought for the Intercontinental and European belts, and they sort of fought a two-legged match. The first round was for the Intercontinental, and the second round was for the European, or vice versa. Mm. Maybe you could have a match like that where she puts the SmackDown title on the line in the first portion of the match, then in the second half of the match she puts on the Raw title.
Yeah, you could
lose one that way. You know, you could. And you could put her in the wrestlers as you want in that scenario. You could have a four-way, like a three-way.
Or like I said, you could have a tournament. Or like you can have Vince. Yeah. You can have Vince come in and screw over again and say, I'm sorry, you can't be on both brands and you can't have both belts. Like you have Vince play the a-hole. Right?
Yeah.
And so then you have a tournament for one of the belt, like a championship women's tournament, right?
Yeah.
And the winner gets a title match at SummerSlam.
Sounds good to me. Or
whatever title. So I don't know. We're makeshift bookers here.
Yeah. We've done pretty
good. But I really enjoyed this match.
Yeah, what did you rate it?
I'm going to give it a 4.7.
Right, okay. I went 3.5.
All right.
Meltzer gave it a 3.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
We've done WrestleMania then, haven't we?
We're done WrestleMania. We'll come back. We'll come back to current WWE probably at Money in the Bank.
I thought we were just gonna do the big ones.
Oh yeah, we can do SummerSlam if you want.
Well, yeah.
You know, we'll see where how the.
Yeah.
or at least wear the title picture, like where it leaves.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, I see what you mean. Maybe not do a full coverage.
We'll do a full show, we'll do a catch up in during one of the episodes.
That sounds good.
During a news portion of the episode or something.
Yeah.
We'll sort of, and then we'll do SummerSlam, full stop. That'll be our full stop review.
Yeah, that sounds good.
But just before we end, I do want to, because I forgot about this piece of news, and it's worth noting that two pieces of news. Dean Ambrose has had his last match in WWE. Whether he ends up on AEW or not remains to be seen. But somebody that is going to AEW is Jim Ross to head up commentary on their Double or Nothing pay-per-view. He signed a 3-year deal, so presumably he's going to probably be on their TV as well.
Yeah.
So what's your take on...
be involved backstage as well, because he's got a brain for the business, hasn't he? So...
Yeah, it could be. And I'm hearing that a rumor that I heard was that they're going to go to TBS and TNT. So they're really...
That'll be interesting.
They are taking the... The quote-unquote WCW network.
But WCW ended because Turner did not want... Well, not even Turner. It was Time Warner did not want wrestling on Turner television.
Right, but so, at this point, the landscape is different now, right? So
I suppose, and probably the same people might not be there and stuff. And
right.
Yeah.
So, but...
Well, let's hope that happens then, because that'll be good.
That's the rumor I heard, and I heard that it's going to be announced when they do the television upfronts in May. So we should be hearing about that soon if that's the case.
Fingers crossed then.
But we'll keep you updated on that. And speaking of AEW, our next show we're going to cover before AEW does their second pay-per-view, we're going to cover their first one, which was All In. And we're going to get our personal first taste of AEW proper on this podcast. So that'll be a fun one to record.
Definitely, yeah.
But until that wraps it up this week. We hope you enjoyed it. We enjoyed bringing this WrestleMania wrap-up to you. Until we reconvene, we want you to know your role, shut your mouth, and listen to this podcast. And remember, Hulkamania is for life and too sweet. So long.
Hulkamania forever.
That's right. So long, everybody.
See ya. Woo!